get to the clip and how that fits in with our message today in just a moment. But I thought it would be fun to share with you a couple of interesting Father's Day trivia questions. Now, in the days of landlines, now for those of you that are under the age of 20, a landline is when the phone actually had a cord on it and plugged into the wall, okay? In the days of landlines, guess what was the biggest telephone day of the year?
Father's Day.
Absolutely not. It was Mother's Day. Everybody makes a phone call on Mom's Day, and if you don't, you better not come home and let Mom find out you didn't make the phone call. Now, the funny thing is, the telephone company kept some other statistics. In the days of landline, they had these things called collect calls. Now, we don't have these today because cell phones have free long distance. Collect calls when you usually call the person on the other side, and the person on the other side that answered the phone paid for the call. Well, according to the telephone company, guess what day most collect phone calls were made? That's Father's Day. See, there's something different with getting in touch with Dad, isn't it? As a matter of fact, did you know that most men don't enjoy Father's Day sermons? Okay, they come to church on Father's Day, but in reality, Father's Day sermons usually aren't a lot of fun. After all, on Mother's Day, we extol the virtues of motherhood. We usually talk about what a great job they're doing. We talk about how influential mothers are with their kids. Then we get a month later and we get into June, and usually Father's Day is all about what's wrong with Dad, and we try to give Dad some advice on how to fix the issues that he's having. Isn't that the way it works? Well, man, here's the thing. Take a deep sigh of relief and you can let out your breath, because guess what? This ain't one of those sermons. We're not here to give you advice on what's wrong with Dad. As a matter of fact, we're going to stay the course. We started this series a few weeks back called Running the Bases. And what we are doing is we're spending our year talking about the word commitment in the church. And specifically here in this series, we were talking about the boundaries that we place to commitment. Things that we put in the way that prevent us from making a full-fledged commitment to God. And we talked about the first week, as we got to first base, we talked about it's just too hard. It's too difficult. It's too much in it that I have to put into it. And so I'd stop being committed just because it's too difficult. Well, we rounded first, and we headed into second, and we talked about sometimes we don't commit because we're just too afraid. We're afraid of what's going to happen if I take that next step. What's going to happen if I get a little more involved? And we get afraid, and so we put up a barrier there. And well, today we're going to talk about the fact that maybe sometimes we're just too distant. Sometimes the barrier that we put up is just sheer distance. And so today we're going to try to talk about this, but we're going to just have a simple catch with Dad. That's our goal today. Did you know that a triple is actually the most least common baseball hit there is? It just doesn't get done that often. So when we begin to talk about distance, it's something that sometimes we not even perceive that we're doing. We not even perceive that we put some distance between us and God just to make ourselves a little more comfortable. So let's talk about the clip. The movie is Field of Dreams. If you grew up in the 80s, early 90s, this movie was something that just, you knew it, you watched it. If you have cable today, you're probably pretty hard-pressed during the summer to flip through the channels and not find this playing somewhere. It was a huge success. And in it, Ray got a message, a small, still voice whispering. Anybody remember the message? Build it and he will come. Ray heard this whisper, and Ray interpreted what he was supposed to do. He interpreted the it that he was supposed to do was he was supposed to build a baseball field in the middle of a cornfield. And everybody thought this man was crazy because he was tearing up his crops in order to build a baseball field. And he kind of interpreted the person that was supposed to come was this guy named Shoeless Joe Jackson. Now, I have to tell you quite honestly, Shoeless Joe Jackson was well before my time, but he was involved in a scandal in baseball. He was kind of disgraced and put out. And so the idea that Ray thought he was supposed to build this baseball field so that Shoeless Joe Jackson could come back. And well, he got it half right. The baseball field was indeed what he was supposed to build. But as he found out in that clip, the he that was supposed to come back wasn't Shoeless Joe Jackson. It was going to be his dad, whom he passed away. And when he passed away, he was estranged. So at the ending of the clip, here is Ray and his dad. And Ray finally figures it out. This doesn't have to be complicated, folks. We just have to get in the vicinity with Dad and just have a simple catch with Dad. See, usually when we get in touch with God, well, it's because we need something. We have a need in our life and something comes up, and usually we span that distance. It's kind of like the young man that went off to college. And he was there for a few weeks, and he texted his dad, "No mun, no fun, your son." The dad texted him back, "Too bad, so sad, your dad." You see, God desperately wants us to have a relationship with him, and God wants us to be able to bring our burdens and our concerns and our cares and the things that we're struggling with. God wants us to be able to bring those things to him. But if that's all you bring to him, then you know what? I don't think you understand who you're calling. You don't understand the relationship that God is looking for. He doesn't just want us to bring our cares and concerns. He's got a much bigger picture in place. I'm going to read some scriptures to you, and then we're going to have a test, so you better pay attention. I'm going to read the scriptures, and you see if you can pick out the word that God uses to define himself. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 reads, "You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord, am your God, and I am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." Exodus chapter 4, 34, verse 14, "Do not worship any other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." Deuteronomy 32, 16, "They made him jealous with their foreign gods and angered him with their detestable idols." 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. "I am a jealous God for you, and with godly jealousy. I promise you to one husband, to Christ, so that I may present you as pure as a virgin." So what's the word that God uses to describe himself? Jealous. And we hear that, and I can't help but think it. I think of how little teenage girls and teenage boys, you know, they got the puppy love thing going on, and they talk to this person one time, and all of a sudden they see them walking down the hall with somebody else, and, you know, the little green-eyed monster comes out. I think of jealous when I think of kids, and there are siblings, and they become rivals. And, you know, so one kid has a toy, and so that kid wants the other kid wants the same toy, and if that toy hadn't been played with in months, it's jealous. We think of it as a negative thing, but here's what jealous means. Jealous means fiercely protected or vigilant of one's rights or possessions. I moved to Charlottesville, Virginia in 1994. See, I can still remember that date. Aren't you impressed? And I was single at the time, but I was engaged. I had a fiance. By the way, she's here with me now. Not as my fiance. We got married. But I came up here and I went apartment shopping. I mean, I had to have some place to live, right? And I was a single guy. I didn't have a lot of money. I hadn't really planned on this move. It wasn't something I'd saved for years. And so we came up here and we went from apartment to apartment to apartment looking at these apartments. And one of the apartments I found that was the best deal around was that what they called it was called a graduate quad. Okay, and what it was, there were four bedrooms and each bedroom had its own separate bathroom. Okay? But in the living room and the other area was shared by the other roommates. It was a great setup. Except for the other three rooms were all female. The room that was empty, the one that was empty and anybody could rent it, but the other three people renting it were female. And as a guy, I saw no problem with this. I want to tell you, I thought this could be a cool idea, but you know what? My fiance didn't think this was a good idea. As a matter of fact, she thought this was a very bad idea. As a matter of fact, she told me, "You're not renting that apartment." You see, that's the idea of jealous. It wasn't the fact that she was worried about something. She understood, this isn't what you want. This isn't the relationship. You can't live in an apartment, and you weren't living in the apartment with them. I tried to explain, I'm not living with them. I have my own space. No, you don't understand. You're not taking those apartment, that apartment. It's not happening. That's the idea of jealous. She didn't want any competition anywhere around. There was nothing that's going to work that way. And that's how God feels about us. He doesn't want to be in competition with us. He wants us close by. So this morning we're going to try to understand the relationship. When God calls himself a jealous God, what is it he's looking for from us? What is it that he wants from the relationship? How does he want us to span that distance? If you have your copy of God's Word, turn to Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. This is what it says. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" Now, this is right after the very first sin. This is right after Adam and Eve chose each other over God. This is right after they chose to listen to the voice of the serpent rather than the commands of God. And, well, that relationship that they had, it was gone. Something had changed with Adam and Eve and God. But you know what? They heard God walking. I want you to really perk that for a second. They heard God walking in the cool of the day. How did they know it was God? Well, it's real simple. They knew his footsteps. Now, kids understand this because you know your parents' footsteps, right? And more importantly, we know our parents' footsteps when things aren't going to be good. Have you ever noticed how your parents' footsteps gets louder when things... It doesn't go away when you get into your 40s and 50s, by the way. The footsteps of your parents when they are displeased mean something to you. So here is Adam and Eve, and they have committed this sin, and well, they knew his footsteps, and they knew his footsteps because, well, they had walked with him before. See, Adam and Eve had a unique relationship that we don't have with God. Every single day they got up and had breakfast with him. Wouldn't that be just awesome? Every single day they would have lunch dates with God. Every single day as the sun started to set and the sunset was just pretty over the horizon, well, God would come down and it says they would just have a cool walk with God in the day. They basically played catch with God. They would just stand out there tossing the ball back and forth and just kind of shooting the breeze with God. I played a lot of catch when I was growing up. I liked playing baseball. And I remember the days that my dad and I, we would go out in the side yard and we would play catch. And it was never just about catch. You would usually talk when you were playing catch. That is, when I wasn't throwing the ball over his head. And then, you know, sometimes it expanded and the whole family would come out there and mom would pitch and dad would be down there to try to catch the ball. And it was great times. It was easy. It was simple. It was uncomplex. We just went out there. There were no rules. We didn't play for outs. We didn't play for runs. We just got out there and played catch just to have time with one another. It was kind of awesome. And I think this is what God is looking for us. He wants us to just have a simple game of catch with him. Don't be so complicated about what you're doing. But you know what? We sort of offer a more distant relationship with God. The playing catch thing, something's happened to it. Maybe if we just follow Adam and Eve's story, we can figure out why it is we remain so distant from God. This is what it says. He answered, he being Adam, he's been busted, God found him, and he said, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." You see, we don't want to play catch with God. We want to play hide and seek. We want to take our lives with all of our problems, with all of our distractions, and with all of our issues, and we want to take them and we want to hide them. We want to make God come looking for them. Think about what it would be like if you had that simple catch with Dad. Dad being God. And you just threw the ball back and forth and you were just out there kind of talking, and you were talking about the good things that happened in your life, and you were talking about the bad things that happened in your life, and you were talking about your friends, and it just went back and forth. Then when the really bad things happen, you don't feel like you have to hide them because the relationship isn't so distant. But you see, that's what we do. We don't want to go out in front with God and just toss the ball back and forth and have a real relationship. We want to play hide and seek. We want God to have to figure it all out. We want God to have to come pursuing us. As a matter of fact, we don't want to walk in the cool of the day. We want to run in the nakedness of our lives. Now, thankfully, I've only had one kid that does this. I'm really glad I didn't have two. But have you ever had one of those kids that when they get out the bathtub, they don't want to put clothes on? I won't tell you which kid it is, by the way. I'll let you ask them if it was them or not. They don't want to put clothes on. And so they run through the house and they're butt naked. And you're trying to chase them through the house and trying to convince them it's a good thing to go put clothes on. And it gets frustrating, doesn't it? You know, they do the dance like you can't catch me, and you have to pick them up and haul them back to their room and get clothes on them. I think that's how God feels about us sometimes. Our lives have sin in it, and our lives have difficulties in it, and our lives have complications in it, and we realize we are naked before God because of that sin, and you know what? We just want to run in it. You see, the thing is, well, we want distance. That's what we want. I mean, we want to put some separation between me and God. That's what I'm looking for. We just want distance. Now, I want you to think about this scenario with God and what's going on with God. Here he has created Adam and Eve. And he didn't do it like he did all the other animals. He just didn't say, let there be cow, and there was cow. He didn't say, let there be pig, and there was pig. When he made Adam and Eve, he said he took his hands, and he formed the dust into their bodies. And he says he bent down and he breathed the breath of life into Adam. See, God saw humanity as something special. And even when he decided to make a helper acceptable for Adam, he didn't go back to the dirt and he didn't just speak woman into being. He took a piece of man and he said, I'm going to form that body also, and I'm going to breathe into that one also. See, God created something that he could relate to, somebody that he could have a relationship to. God didn't want a pet. God wanted a child. God wanted somebody that he could care for and that would love him back. But we forget all of this. We forget the fact that, well, God came walking even though he already knew they were running. When God came walking in the cool of the day, he wasn't like he was surprised. He knew that Adam and Eve had sinned. You know, parents just have that perception. You ever notice when you've done something bad, parents just have that, like, it's like ESP. I know you've done something. Well, God has better than ESP. He has knowledge. He knew they had done something. You know what? God called out, where are you? But he already knew the answer to that, didn't he? God was standing there in the garden, and he said, Adam, Eve, where are you? Did he really have to do that? God knew that they were somewhere in the garden. Actually, he knew exactly where they were in the garden. He knew their state. He knew what they were up to. But yet he still was willing to have that relationship. God was willing to go that extra little bit. See, we forget this verse in James chapter 4, verse 8. Come near to God and he will come near to you. When you decide to stop playing hide and seek, when you decide to actually start doing things the way God wants them to, well, there are some benefits to it. There are some benefits to playing catch with God. things that we get when we live an open, honest relationship, when we span that distance. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. This is a verse that many of us know. Probably many of us have quoted it during times of trouble. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And reading that verse, the first thing I want you to note is what's missing from the verse. It did not say your problems will go away. That verse did not say that those that rest in God will have no problems, no difficulties, no worries, nothing happening, no bad things will ever happen. All will be rosy and sunny, and we always live on the top of the rainbow. That's not what it says. But it does make some promises for when you have problems. It says, well, it says our strength will be renewed. Do you feel worn out sometimes? Overloaded? Tired? Stretched to your limits that if one more thing happens, the rubber band's going to snap? Maybe a game of catch with God would solve some of these problems. Maybe if you could just rest in that relationship with God, that you know what? It'll still be there, but it's different when you've got somebody to share it with. The verse says that, well, we're going to mount up with wings as eagles. Now, this doesn't mean that I would suggest you jump off of a cliff with your problems. That's not it. But have you ever watched an eagle soar? I was at Bob and Linda's house on Thursday night, and Bob was all excited because he had saw his first bald eagle right near his house. Did you get to watch him fly? Yeah. They use this idea that NASCAR stole. It's called drafting, okay? If you ever watch an eagle fly, an eagle doesn't do this. An eagle spreads out the wings, and it's really just the tips of the wings that are kind of moving. And what they're doing is they're catching the upwind, and they just kind of soar. They just kind of glide right above the ground. And it's effortless. They can stay up for so much longer because they're not working so hard. Sometimes I think we're overworking ourselves. We're overworking ourselves because you know what? We're not resting in God. We're not allowing God to uplift us. We're not catching the draft. We're doing everything on our own. And because of that, we are worn out. Because of that, we are broken. But God says, you know what? You rest in me. You play catch with me. You get close to me. We shall run and not be weary. I'd like that one. I'd just like to be able to run and not get out of breath most of the time. We shall walk and not faint. God says, I'm going to give you some ability to span over your life. It's not going to always be so difficult unless you decide to play hide and seek with me, folks. If you're willing to take that next step, this is what God says. But you notice the clause at the front of the verse. It says, if you hope in the Lord, if you have that sure, strong relationship with God. You know that movie, Field of Dreams, Ray got two messages. If you build it, he will come. Anybody remember the second one? Yeah, most of us don't. I had to go back and look at the clip to make sure I was doing it. It simply said, go the distance. Don't stop until you finish what you've started. Don't just go to God with a limited view. Go the distance. Go all the way back to where you started, Ray. Go all the way. You know what? Don't just mow down a few acres of corn. Don't just build some baselines. Don't just put some bags and a plate out there. Ray, we want the whole thing. We want the lights and the electricity and the bleachers and the whole. People thought this guy was crazy. But he was just acting on a voice that he heard that said, hey, go the distance for me. And then that relationship that you lost, it can be restored. Romans chapter 8, verse 10 says, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. That's the relationship that God wants us to have. Abba does not necessarily mean the formal word father. The reason the Jews thought it was so wrong that Jesus called God, Abba, is because the word literally means what we would call daddy. It's a casual and informal word to reference God. Jesus called God daddy. In Romans chapter 8, guess what? 8:15, it says we're supposed to be able to call him daddy too. I'm not supposed to come to God with some formal little ritual that I have to try to get in front of God. You know what? God just wants to play a game of catch with you. So you want to play? You want to live your life more like a daddy lives with their child, or do you want to be the formal person? Just keep God at arm's distance, arm's length away. Don't ever make it real. Just make him some persona that's out there somewhere, and sometime or another, when things are going really bad, I'll just kind of give you the collect call. You know, the funny thing is, when you made those collect calls, has anybody ever received a collect call before? You get the collect call, and you pick it up, and the operator interrupts and says, so-and-so has made a collect call, and what's the next thing they ask? Well, you accept the charges. You understand that's a great analogy, because that's what we're asking God to do. When all of our relationship is based on collecting something from God, then what it says is, hey, God, will you accept the charges? And God says, of course I will. I died for those charges. But you know what? I think God would have appreciated maybe a more casual conversation than always asking to have to accept the charge to have a conversation with us. He just wants to play a game of catch with us. Really simple. Get outside and have a true relationship with us. We're going to do a time of we always call it a time of decision, but I guess I'm going to call this more of a time of reflection. I want you to think for a second. When's the last time you ever had a real conversation with God? I'm not talking about when you're sick and you're asking God to heal you. And I'm not talking about when something's going wrong in your life and you're asking God to fix that. When is the last time you ever went to God and had a conversation with him and asked him for nothing? Can you even remember the last time you had that kind of conversation? When you went to God and you had a legitimate conversation with God and you asked him for absolutely nothing. You told him about your day. Maybe you sat and silently and listened. I want you to reflect on this idea for a second, because I think this is what we're missing. This is the boundary. Because we keep God at such a distance, we can't truly commit to him because we don't trust him. We don't trust him enough to share our whole life with him. So during this time of reflection, ponder that thought. If you are here today and you've never met Abba Father, you've never met Jesus, you don't understand this relationship, then please feel free to come on forward, and we'll sit down and we'll talk to you about what it means to be a Christian. We'll walk through the verses one by one and show you what it really means. Would you please stand? We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing.